BlakeRadio.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling. Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore. OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
That's not my fault, I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not going to lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my nizzle, are y'all chilling for shit?
What? It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the folks at Wild Talk Radio Network. You're listening to us live on their network each and every Tuesday evening. You can also hear us on UltimateSportsTalk.com, and it looks like we're going to be going live next Tuesday night on WRWWrestling.com or .net, I'm sorry. That's one of our friends that you can check all the fun stuff out from Monday Night Raw, Friday Night SmackDown, TNA Wrestling. Which we will cover in our second hour. We will preview this Sunday's Hardcore Justice. Yeah, they kept the name even though they're not keeping any of what went on last year. And fortunately, I don't have to sit through what went on last year. And before Jersey Girl jumps down my throat, hey, I've come with peace that ECW is a great promotion. Just don't put them on my pay-per-view. Our number, as always, is 267-297-1397. If you have Skype and you want to get on the show at any point, it is Sir Rockin' Two Words. He will get you on the show. Coming up also on the show, we've been talking. Last week we had the very lovely Maria Kanellis on the program. Talking about an amazing event that's going to be Saturday, August the 20th. It is Tribute to the Fairgrounds 3. It is a benefit for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. If you have never been to the Tennessee State Fairgrounds, it was, as I mentioned all the time, home to TNA Wrestling before Orlando. Every Wednesday night you could go to this pavilion. Even before that, it was a great happening for wrestling there. Burt Prentice is running that building. Mike Porter's run there. The Gulas family. So definitely go to CrossfireLLC.VisionVictorZZebraE.com. You can get the listings and all our stuff. As I mentioned, Maria is going to be there as a special appearance. If you're on the main page and you scroll down just below Maria, you're going to see the listings for a no-holds-barred match between former ECW, WCW, WWE superstar Raven, and our guest at this time. He is one of the most feared men in the Nashville wrestling scene. And if you don't believe me, ask all the cinder blocks he smashed on opponents' crotches. He is the one and only Hammerjack. Thanks for stopping by tonight, man. How you doing?
That's right. Thanks, Alan. I appreciate that, man.
Yeah. Take us back a little bit. For me, this is fun because we've known each other for 10 years. But take fans back in your career to the name and where carrying the cinder block and the hammer and all that came from. Because I get emails all the time from people going, you know him, tell us. And I'm like, I'm not revealing trade secrets. He may do it on the show. So go ahead and give it away for us.
That is kind of weird to ask that, of course you would. Hammerjack Cummins. I'm from Baltimore, Maryland originally. Grew up in Baltimore, the rough streets of Baltimore, Maryland. And, if you're familiar with the area, I think they franchised a club recently called Hammerjacks. And, when I was growing up, That was like a world famous place for all the, you know, heavy metal, hard hitting bands to play. And as I got older, I, you know, anticipated going to the club. And of course, they shut the doors as soon as I became old enough to walk in and have a few beers with some of the bands and some of the guys that were hanging out to play. So, you know, that name just stuck with me. It meant a lot to me through the years.
As far as
the sledgehammer, that just comes from the working field of me, you know, driving nails and working hard, you know, just doing man's work, man. It was always there, and it just stuck with the name, and I just used it ever since.
Yeah. So break the fourth wall down for fans, because we do sometimes take kayfabe and throw it out the window here. But when you're booked in a match against anyone in Nashville or in Tennessee, I could throw tons of names out there that fans would go, oh, wow, yeah, I know him. But we'll just pick any random worker who works for Mike Porter or Burt Prentice or Tony Falk. But when they see your name on the sheet and they go, oh, God, I'm going to get that cinder block in between my groin, do you have to talk them and go, trust me, I've been doing this a while. I'm not going to hit anything.
Somewhat. I've only heard a couple of people, but that's probably because I'm into more or less. You know, it seems. You know, it's we're not playing tennis, like they say. We're not playing tennis yet. But you know, a lot of people did fear it, especially in Evansville, Indiana, when I first started breaking into Evansville. It seemed like every other opponent I would bust a block, and they would just build it up in the locker room. And No, nobody was really looking forward to that.
Do you miss working in Evansville for CCW? Because that was a fun place to go with Eric Acker being the promoter.
Yeah, somewhat I do. I mean, I miss a lot of the guys. Too Tough Tony, Madman Pondo, Necro Butcher, a lot of the guys, you know, that were really building the hardcore scene down there. But, you know, what I miss the most is Chris Champion. You know, Chris Champion. I was trained by Tony Falk and Gypsy Joe actually, you know, led me the entire way, but Tony was in there, you know, bumping for me and you know, basically being the bump dummy for me. But Chris took me under his wing and really walked me through the ropes, showed me how to get booked and, you know, the do's and don'ts of the business.
Yeah, he's someone that I definitely miss a lot. And when I was up for the, I think it was for the NWA convention in 05, I saw him after a couple of years of not seeing him from his stroke. And it was just like he knew who I was, but it was a little foggy. Have you seen him recently, and how's he doing?
Yeah, I have seen him recently. Actually, he has really short hair now. He's changed his lifestyle totally. If you know anything about Chris, him to change his lifestyle was a really big deal. You know, it's, back then, probably what you're referring to is when he probably couldn't even speak at all, couldn't form his words, but he knew what he wanted to say and couldn't get it out of his mouth. And, you know, nowadays, you know, he's getting a lot better with his speech and stuff, and easier to communicate, I guess.
Yeah, got a couple emails at radio@onlineworldofwrestling.com. One of them came from someone that didn't want me to reveal their name, so I'm not going to. It says, you used to be managed by Truman Charles, and you've been on and off with him. Was it a personal thing or a business decision? What led to first you guys partnering up and then you guys not talking?
Well, Charm Charles is a good guy. I mean, we started together pretty much, you know, day one. I mean, we basically came up with our stick together and everything, and it did some really good things in the beginning. Charles, I don't understand exactly what happened. I just think I wanted to take one road and try to build a bigger goal, bigger career or something, and Charles was wanting to go a different way, which, you know, he's done quite a bit in his career as well, so hopefully sometime on down the road we can get back together and see if we can't do something.
Now, before we get into this amazing promotion that Marcus Pistorius has set up, Crossfire Entertainment, let's take fans on a tour of the National Wrestling scene, because I make no shame in it, that I loved every minute of the 2 years that I lived in Nashville and my trips back up. We'll go through the quick...
Saturated is the word, Alan.
Oh, yeah. Okay, well, let's go first, because you've worked for a lot of them. So we'll go first to Burt Prentice, who had USA Championship Wrestling, and Smart Bart Sawyer once called him the master of the grab bag special. Take us through working for Burt, good points, bad points, if there are any.
I have no bad points when I work for Burt. You know, when I decided to take the road away from Charles, that's where I went to, was to work at USA for Burt.
Mm.
And that's when I started learning quite a bit. I mean, I really got into, you know, working with some good talent there. I have no bad points at that.
Okay. Yeah, we'll move on. You mentioned Tony Falk. When I moved up there in 2001, he had just gotten going with USWO, which was running in Robertson County Fairgrounds building, and then went to Madison, a few minutes from where I remember you living, and then they moved now to the infamous Stadium Inn, or as my friends when I lived in the town call it, the Crack Den Inn. Pluses and negatives with Tony, are there any negatives? I mean, he's a worker, he's a veteran who's worked. God, if you watch the TNA Jeff Jarrett DVD, there's Jeff working Tony Falk, and I look going, hey, look at that, Tony had blonde hair.
Yeah, you know, when I first started wrestling, I was, like I said, I was somewhat trained by Tony as well, and my first match was in Dixon, Tennessee for Gypsy Joe, and my second was for a guy named T.J. Weatherby, Southern All-Star Wrestling, in Madison Square Shopping Center, Madison, Tennessee. And Tony Falk was the booker. And Tony had some different ideas with his booking, you know, in the beginning, which I thought, I didn't understand then, but I do now.
Hmm.
So, and in the beginning, I wasn't too sure about how Tony felt about me, so I kind of stayed away from him. You know what I mean? But they were booking some good talent back then at Coco Beware. You know, they had a lot of good Nashville talent. Dante was there. I know you're familiar with him, right?
Oh, yeah, I love me some Dante.
Cool Breeze. Cool Breeze was in town, and that was a mean machine right there. I mean, he had some really good things going. But, you know, mm-hmm. I've been working for Tony probably on and off 14 years now.
Wow. What is it? Just he gets the right talent mix. Is that what makes him successful, you think, or is it whoever he puts with the book? Because you've been there. Shane Eden's been working there on and off, and then of course his son LT's been around. What makes it so great?
Well, I guess because he's a long stay. You know what I mean? If anybody knows where wrestling is, I mean, everybody knows it's Tony Falk. There's only two promoters. Well, besides Burt, Burt kind of moved around here and there. You know, he goes back and forth to Illinois and stuff like that. But, as far as the two that's actually stayed the longest in one place and, you know, continued the weekly show was T.J. Weatherby and Tony Falk.
Which moves me down the road a little bit, because he ran in Columbia, he ran in Spring Hill, he's running Nashville on and off, and that brings me to the man who's involved with NWA main event, Mike Porter, who was real gracious to me and my time in and out of there. Faults or praise for Mike at all? Maybe he listens to the NWA too much, or am I just? I'm not trying to stir stuff with you and promoters. I'm just trying to get you honest. Don't murder me. That got me in bed with Charles. Charles was like, "You're trying to steer him to go to other promotions," and I'm like, "Dude, he's my friend. I want him to go where he's going to get work. Okay, if he has to go to work for Burt, cool."
Mike Porter, he gave me a shot at the beginning too, and I haven't worked for him for probably 10 years. And just recently, I've come across him a few times, and apparently we had a problem in the past, and hopefully we're working through it now. And you know, I sat down, I tried to figure out what the problem was, and the only thing I can think of is that I was moving on.
Yeah. What makes you of the Nashville promotions? Because we'll talk Marcus, and we'll talk the fun that he's had with his deal, but what makes you, if someone, especially if you're going to travel maybe to Baltimore or other parts, what makes Hammerjack say yes to a promoter? Is it his locker room? Is it the booker? What's a yes for you to work there besides the obvious payday?
Well, nowadays it's the locker room, it's the talent, it's the level. You know, before it was just getting experience, and now I've learned to turn down a few bookings here and there because, you know, if I got to watch out, you know, be careful for my name as well. You know, if the talent's not there, then Hammerjack's not there. I hate to be like that, but that's the truth. Other than that, it's all about the money, right?
Absolutely. Before this, this new endeavor, Crossfire Entertainment LLC, hopped up, if I may be wrong in this, but there is it SAW or SWA that these guys?
There's two SAWs, and one formed inside the other one. Showtime All-Star Wrestling formed inside of Southern All-Star Wrestling. They were using the building for TV tapings and didn't want to use the same name on their DVD productions. That was run by Reno Reagan. Reno had a great product. Well, they're still running as well, but he had a great product in the beginning, and I got some good experience, TV experience with him, and got to run with a little creativity. Had some great things going on with that.
What makes what Marcus has done, because this is the third event that they've had. You had one January 29th, which was the original one that had 1,700 folks come out to see a main event of Jerry Lawler and superstar Bill Dundee. And then you came back on May 14th and had another great crowd. What's making these events work? Is it Marcus and his creative team? Is it the talent? Is it both?
I'd say it's both, and I'd say that the first one was actually a tribute to the Nashville State Fairgrounds. Fairgrounds were threatened to close their doors at the time, and we stepped in wanting to do one last show there, and that's what lit the fire. That one, what everybody thought was going to be the last show in the wrestling, you know, at the Tennessee State Fairgrounds, became hopefully, you know, a longevity thing. I mean, they're not going to close their doors until 2012 unless stipulations are met, blah, 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 whatever. But, you know, we're building quickly. You know, we built a relationship with Make-A-Wish Foundation, and, like $3 off of every ticket goes to Make-A-Wish Foundation, which I'm behind that 100%. I go out and do a lot of events with the kids and stuff like that. Every year I do the deal with Carrie's Kids, the muscular dystrophy thing on every other benefit that he does. Answer some phones, try to get some phones ringing. I mean, I've always done stuff for the kids, and this company is making a difference, and I'm just proud to be a part of it.
Hammerjack joining us on Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network and OnlineWorldOfWrestling.com. We're talking about the tribute to the Fairgrounds 3, as Hammerjack mentioned, and is a benefit for the Make-A-Wish Foundation, which is Saturday, August the 20th, 2011. When you look at what happened when TNA split in 2004, and I came up a couple times after that to 2005 and got to see you at other events, and I remember remarking to you and a couple other people, I said, it almost feels like a death happened in that town. Did that feel that way for a little while after Nashville after TNA left, and did it feel like it took forever for you and other pro wrestlers to get interest back up in the company? That are companies around there?
What do you mean? I don't understand what you're saying. After they left,
after they left in September of 2004,
right?
And killed, basically, a lot of people said they killed the town.
They did. Well, you know, they were giving out free tickets, and you know, people were relying on that Wednesday night show, that free Wednesday night entertainment. And when they left, they made a few promises and some public appearances to come back and never did. And I think that's, you know, what's making a lot of fans wary about Crossfire is, you know, they got that bad taste in their mouth. They've been scarred. They hurt a lot of their feelings. But, you know, TNA was a big deal here. really was. I mean, they sell out crowd every week.
Yeah, and if you go to that Jeff Jarrett DVD that I mentioned, and you're sitting there watching a fan strap match from 2006, I believe it is, and you're looking at the wrestlers, and all of a sudden I'm going, "Holy crap, there's Hammerjack!" Was that fun?
They wouldn't give me a job as talent for some reason. I was there for security the entire time. I was chief of security there. Got to do a few spots with Ken Shamrock and just endless people in the very beginning. And never would give me a shot other than what they call dark matches or whatever. But other than that, I mean, they gave me a job driving a truck. Don Harris really took me in, and I was driving the truck to and from, making good money, setting the rings up and doing stuff like that for them. And they needed somebody to hold the strap, and Jeff was in there at the time, and perfect opportunity.
That was one of those, I hated that, because I went to New York on vacation, and I was like, crap, I miss seeing my friends from Nashville. Speaking of people that used to work in Nashville, we got to talk about this no-holds-barred match with Raven.
That's right.
What led to this? Has there been some bad blood that I missed going on here?
Yeah, we've had a couple run-ins and him trying to send a few henchmen down here to take care of me, so to speak. But, you know, I've made my way through the trials and tribulations, and now it's come down to me and him. So I've been in the ring with him a couple times, and it's time to beat his eyes out and show him who the man is, you know what I mean? And what better place to do it than Crossfire right there at the National Fairgrounds.
Now, you mentioned, we'll talk more about this match in a minute here, but you mentioned for a while there the fairgrounds itself was in major danger. As someone who, you know, when you came to Tennessee to work and you heard of the history of this building and everything that's there, what was the uproar like? Did people just freak out going, that's like destroying Madison Square Garden or somewhere?
Exactly. You're right. I mean, you go back to the old Memphis days, and that was the loop. It was Nashville, Memphis, and Louisville. And all the greatest, angles and everything was shot right there in that building. Jerry Lawler, Bill Dundee, the fabulous ones were there. The list goes on and on.
Is Raven, right? It's not like you're going to pull the wool over on somebody who may not have been around the block once or twice. This is Raven.
This would be one of my co-hosts.
he did invent the House of Fun match.
Right. The House of Fun match.
The Clockwork Orange House of Fun match.
Yeah, that craziness he did in TNA where he had a steel cage up on one side of the ring and poles and all that gaga.
Right, he did invent that. So was that supposed to be his claim to fame? I mean, I was involved in one of the first electrified cage matches right there at CCW. Actually, I went over in that match. I won that. Fair and square. 10 hardcore guys in there, and I was the last one to walk out. The only one standing.
I think Abby has the claim to fame over being electrified in a cage.
Yeah, it was his first barbecue meal, I think. I'm not sure.
That's a lot of pork.
And then some. When you hear about stuff like that, where he's got a wrestler trying to sue him, saying that he gave him Hep C, do you ever worry about that kind of stuff?
Yeah, I sure do. I mean, you know, some of those mats are, you know, wrestling day in, day out, and, you know, not clean properly or whatever. Of course you don't worry about it. But, it is what it is. I guess you just keep on going.
When you look at the locker room that Marcus and you and other folks have built here, I mean, you look at this card, you've got Jerry Lynn and Kid Cash, you've got Jamie Dundee, Wolfie D, basically imploding PG-13. You've got Cassidy Riley coming back to town to take on Eric Andrews, and then you look at the double main event. You're going to have Dutch Mantell and superstar Bill Dundee inside a steel cage, and then you've got the Diamonds in the Rough and Too Cool on here. And it's not like it's $10 general admission. Where else are you going to find this kind of show? Especially
in that. And a few dollars from every ticket is going to the Make-A-Wish Foundation. So, you know, it's for a good cause. I mean, yep. You know, we must be doing something right. We got the National Guard behind us now. We've got a Lotus Energy Drink on board. You know, sponsors are jumping on. I mean, we're doing a great thing. I mean, we're mixing the old school with the new school and bringing some teams back together that people want to see, and it's just the right formula.
With the last show that went down, you had Rock and Roll Express and Midnight Express in the bill, and as a wrestling fan, were you just sitting there going, wow?
Yes,
or were you sitting there
was.
Going, I don't want to be their age and still bumping in a ring?
Yes, I was. I'm getting older, you know, myself, and hopefully I can, you know, step into the office or, you know, promoting under the deal here with Crossfire as it grows, but yeah. I mean, a lot of people still want to see that, though. A lot of people still want to see the old timers one more time. You know, get their poster signed, get their autographs and pictures and everything. And I just think, like I said before, mixing old with the new seems to be a good formula.
And the Friday night, the 19th, if you are in Nashville, you can go to Luau Louie's Hula Hut. It's downtown on 2nd Avenue. Maria Kanellis is going to do a special appearance there. And then the big one, as said, it is Saturday, August the 20th. Bell time is 7:30. The doors open 6:30. But if you buy the VIP ticket for $15, you get in at 5:30. And that includes a meet and greet with everybody. And also has some exclusive pre-show matches. And also, there's going to be a live performance by a band called Voodoo Prophet. Do you know anything about these guys?
Good friends of mine, Voodoo Prophets. We've done a few different things with them, and I think they're about to blow up. They're shopping the new deal now and everything. And rumor has it they might want to play my music for me when I come out. I'm not sure, but that'd be an honor for me. Check them out on YouTube. They just put a new video out on there. That's Voodoo Prophet.
Yep. And if you live in the Nashville area on Friday the 19th. There is going to be a special press conference to showcase the event. You can check crossfirellc.bze.com. You're actually going to be involved in this thing, from what I was told. Does this get your juices flowing, going, okay, at 11 o'clock at the fairgrounds, I'm part of a press conference? I mean, this thing's getting huge.
It's amazing. I mean, they've got all the major TV stations here pulling together, bringing the video cameras out, asking questions, doing their deal, and magazines. We have a few magazines coming out, newspapers. I mean, it's really, Crossfire's really making some noise, and the media's, you know, taking note of it. So must be doing something right.
I hope so. We will be talking with you again soon. Coming up after the break, from one member of the creative and drive for this promotion to the other, Marcus Pastroyas, the promoter of Crossfire Entertainment, will be joining us here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, Online World of Wrestling Radio. We'll be right back.
Professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the Indie Scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talent today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Jerry. Anna Christel.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday. Brett the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the $1 million man.
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson. Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site the pro choose. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
Wednesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Otaku Talk Live.
I got a 15 on the intelligence roll.
Okay, what are you doing with it?
Trying to find a slinky.
Okay, you find a slinky, but it's one of those cheap new plastic ones.
This slide. Go to the top of the stairs.
I yell, watch out for paint cans.
Duck.
Okay, since he is smart enough to say duck, he dodges the duck that swings down from the top.
Duck and dodge paint cans, ducks, and any other flying object.
Okay, you also ducked the free pussy that flew by, but that's okay. You're now at the top of the staircase, with a slinky in hand.
Put the slinky on the top stairs and tip it over.
I get our following to, well, not our, but Shaniqua's following to member, and we all start going, go, 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 go.
Alright, hang on a second. Dun. Oh, the slinky stops halfway down.
Oh!
God, I hate when that happens.
You know what? At this point, I'm going to roll for the steal and the win.
Wait, what?
LEB Rule, Chapter 7. Subsection 15.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, roll a d20.
I hope Bob Barker doesn't own this castle.
For more geekiness, tune into Otaku Talk Live, 9 p.m. Eastern on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
There are plenty of wrestling radio shows that consider themselves to be award-winning, yet they are full of flaws. While Wrestle Talk Radio continues to bring you the best wrestling talk on the internet today, with no production flaws. Tune in Sunday nights for Wrestle Talk Radio, the best value in wrestling radio. We're just saying.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
It's me, it's that D-O-double-G mobbing once again with Wild Talk Radio. And if you ain't down with that, I got two words for you. Suck it.
Yeah. Well, that's why I'm at the end of the time.
Welcome to Online World of Wrestling Radio, brought to you by the Wild Talk Radio Network. Thanks to Hammerjack for stopping by and him getting ready for his humongous match on Saturday, August 20th at the Tennessee State Fairgrounds against Raven. We're going to stay on the same topic of the Tribute to the Fairgrounds 3, which, as I said, is a benefit from Make-A-Wish Foundation. As Hammerjack told us, $3 from every ticket that you purchase will be going to Make-A-Wish Foundation. We talked about it last week, Maria Kanellis, and how important this charity is to her, and that's one of the main reasons why she's going to be there and coming back to our show on the 16th, along with the Evil Effin' Show, Jerry Lynn, next Tuesday night. It's Rikishi joining us. Right now it is the brainchild of Crossfire Entertainment, LLC, Mr. Marcus Pastroyas. Thank you for taking time to be with us here tonight.
Thank you, Alan. It's a pleasure. Let me reiterate real quick. It's $2. don't want to burst any bubble or get any one figure. You know, I don't want any false information out there. It's $2 for that stuff of bigger stuff to come with the Make-A-Wish in the future, but it's $2. I don't want anyone getting misinformation and then seeing something else in print different or anything like that. But appreciate being on the show.
Yeah, every time I'm on your Facebook page, I see that you were at CMA Music Fest, and then you're over here and you're over there. Which is your first true love? Is it wrestling? Is it music? Or is it a combination of both? Because I see you've got, we talked with Hammerjack about that Voodoo Prophet was on the show. So is it a mutual love for both? Is that what works best for you these days?
These days, well, wrestling's number one. And that dates back to my great-grandfather and my great-grandmother that sat in their, as you probably hear stories of the grandparents sitting in the chair in the living room and watching wrestling. Gosh, I was born in 1985, so this was the Hulk Hogan era. And Iron Sheik and Bob Backlund and Macho Man, all that stuff. And I said, you know, my mother was a wrestling fan. My uncle, who's my mother's brother, was a wrestling fan. My dad despises wrestling. So they kind of skipped over him. But I always said that I was born to be in the business coming out of my mother's womb. And that's been my first love ever since. And I'm blessed and honored to be part of the business. Now, music-wise, I didn't get into doing a lot of music stuff until I came to Nashville. And I've done a lot of event production in the past, video production, television, radio, stuff like that. But I've been very lucky. You know, I don't take anything for granted. You know, I moved to Nashville and I've been able to work with, I can say, mostly every single artist here, and being able to be a part of helping produce the CMA Fest and stuff is amazing. Do so, kind of, you know, the whole Crossfire Entertainment. Now it's Crossfire Wrestling is what we're doing, but the whole Crossfire Entertainment is we're doing the wrestling and we're going to tap into doing some music as well. You know, I've gained so many connections and experiences and knowledge in that business here. I figured, why not? August is just the start of many things to come, as you're going to see two things combined together that Nashville loves the most.
When you're putting a car together like this, this is as we mentioned with Hammerjack being on here before, this is the third time you've done this event. The first one was January 29th, and then you had the event on May 14th, which we had BG James on to talk about. Check our archives at owwradio.com. Take us back to the January event. What was the genesis of it? Was it something you had been wanting to do that you had tried to do with other Nashville promoters and couldn't get done?
Everything that came about with that was the whole premise of the fairgrounds is not supposed to be open to this day. Everyone knows that, and it's a historical monument that's dying, but people are keeping it alive. And I know the mayor is none too happy that Crossfire is keeping alive, because we're bringing that fairgrounds so much buzz, and the fairgrounds is being brought back. The January event came about, and it was done in a very, very short period of time. And it was the whole, if you guys remember, your listeners remember, TNA was supposed to do the last ever house show, ever wrestling show there in November. And they came there, and Jeff Jarrett was there, and Jeff Hardy, and they drew a decent crowd there. But when the fairgrounds decided, because after that, the fairgrounds was supposed to close in December of 2010. They made it to where it was going to close March of 2011. That right there sparked my opportunity, because I heard from fans that show was great, but not a way to close out the fairgrounds. There wasn't the guys like the Jerry Lawler and the Bill Dundee, guys like that, that blood, sweat, and tears, and nothing, much respect to Jeff Jarrett. He was one of those guys that blood, sweat, and tears in that building. It wasn't the tribute, if you will. So in November, I found out about that, called up the fairgrounds, met with them, told them my brainchild wanted to do it. I've been a big supporter of Make-A-Wish for many, many, many years. I've been blessed so much in my life. At the age of 25, I'll be 26, 5 days after the August event. And to see these kids, boy and girl, that are dying, and their one wish is just to live one of their dreams. I've been able to live all my dreams, and I got new dreams and accomplished new goals, and, you know, and I went with, I want to help them. So I've done a lot of work with them in the past. They said, let's do this, let's do that, and let's do a tribute. To me, living in Nashville for, God, it will be 3 years this September, I went to Hammerjack and said, who should we have on the show? I know Nashville wrestling, but I don't know the history of it. You've been here forever. He was there when TNA first opened, and he was all around and stuff. So who should we put? And we sat down, and he said the main event has to be Jerry Lawler and Bill Dundee. There's no other way. You know, and I was like, okay, we need to do that. And from there, we got Lawler and Bill set on, and then from there, we just broke it down and going, okay, who's the best of the best back in the day, today, the future? And we went with it, and it, you know, and we had a lot of things going with us with the closing, because that was supposed to be the last show ever at the fairgrounds before, 2 weeks before the event, they announced that they were going to keep it open until the end of 2012. So the whole promotion thing was the last show, the TV ads, radio ads, everything. And then 2 weeks before, it got changed to, it's not going to be. So we just said, hey, we're going to have one party and have fun and honor it. You know, and then right before that show came about, I knew about 2012, I went to the fairgrounds and said, you know what, even before that show even happened, I said, I want to come back and let's do some stuff. So we already have some dates already set out, go, I don't know how well this is going to do, you know, and we've had so much of a huge buzz for that January show. It was unbelievable what we did. We brought wrestling fans out of the woodwork that haven't been to the fairgrounds in years. I haven't been to a wrestling show in years that remember the days. And they said how much you remember them of the days. And then we did it. You know, we had some surprises there, like Eric Young showing up as a surprise and stuff. And it was, you know, Hammerjack and I together, you know, with some other help. You know, we asked a local promoter by the name of TJ Weatherby. We asked him. I still remember this day. It was Hammerjack and I sitting in his truck, and TJ came in, and we had a meeting in Hammer's truck about that, and said, TJ, what do you think of this? You've been around for, what do you think of this card? You know, so, you know, we've asked a bunch of people. We got, you know, we asked Tony Falk, asked TJ. We got everybody together to go, let's do one last blowout, which was supposed to be. But as you know, it's not, then Crossfire is born, and we're hoping that, you know, to bring back wrestling.
Now, take fans through this, because I know it from my friendships with folks in Nashville, but explain why the Tennessee government wants to get rid of this facility. I know there's a great race car track there that NASCAR still uses, and what's the big deal of getting rid of this facility?
As I still meet with the fairgrounds on a regular basis with people and stuff, and you talked about the racetrack. The racetrack and Crossfire teamed up together. So we're teamed up together, exclusive with each other, and we're wanting to keep the fairgrounds around. It's basically, the fairgrounds is over 100 years old, and that's the death of it and the good part about it, the positive and the negative. The good part about it, it's the nostalgia. It's a landmark in Nashville. And the bad part is, and it's 100-some years old. And it's old. Plus, they consider being in a bad part of town. You know, the projects are right behind us, so they don't want it. You know, the mayor don't want it there. But the fans keep speaking. You know, thousands come to that race. And it was a fight for the race to be brought back. It was a fight for the state fair to be brought back because of that. And, you know, and they've spoken in hundreds to thousands for the wrestling being brought back. We were at the state fair, not the state fair, I apologize, the race this past Saturday. Hammerjack and I were with a couple other people, and everyone was there and knew us as the wrestling guys and going, we need wrestling back. We want wrestling to keep coming and stuff. So the city's speaking. There's so many childhood memories, and I've been told, you know, one thing that a lot of promoters don't do, not just saying here, but everywhere, and I take great pride into that, is I'll talk with the fans. I'll give them the chance. You know, if they call me up for a ticket order, I'm on the phone with them for 5+ minutes because they're tired. Everyone has a story. Or via an email, I'll answer your email back. I'm not one to ignore you, or your Facebook message, or in person. You know, everyone tells you, I remember as a kid sitting in the fairgrounds and watching wrestling. I'm growing up and I got a kid or I got my grandchild that I want them to, and they want those memories to keep coming. And that's why the city's speaking. They want the memories to keep going. Dutch Mantel said it best on the news station when we were doing media for the January event. He said it was talk of the town. It was a Tuesday, the week of the January show, and he said the best line that I'll never forget, and I really will stand by. You can never kill a memory. And that's what the people have. They have this wrestling memory, you know, if it's dating back to the Memphis days and USWA, TNA, when it was NWA TNA, you know, before they left and went to Florida. You know, everyone has this memory. Or the local indies that have come in after TNA left into the fairgrounds. They have all these memories, and they want to create them. And we're coming in and, you know, in our hearts and stuff, you know, wanting to work with everybody and provide some great wrestling for everybody and give them an opportunity at a fair price, you think of, to give them a great show and also help a charity out all in the same as well.
As you're sitting here with us listening, fans, you can go to crossfirellc.com, and you can see this tremendous card that Marcus has got together for this event. And it's stacked from the pre-show match with the King, Shane Williams, taking on Josephus with Abriella, and then you end up with Derek King Incorporated taking on the Maddox Brothers. One of my personal favorite stars is Cassidy Riley coming back to take on Eric Andrews. How did you get Cassidy to say yes is what I want to know, because it seems that it's hard to get him to say yes to stuff.
With any wrestler or any, I would just say any entertainment performer, you got to give them something that they want to do. You know, a great example is Lance Storm. When I tried using him years ago, he told me I would never come in for a booking unless it's something that I want to do and I'm going to have fun at doing. And it's something that I would make a mark at instead of just coming in for just a regular show. And so these guys are coming up. Yeah, people are going, wow, these guys are coming. Cassidy Riley, for a great example. I reached out to him in January for the January event because I was looking to maybe add in a little bit more stuff and everything. And I looked at the stuff. I was like, man, it's so packed, we can't add any more. I said, Cassidy, in the future, we are going to bring him up in May. But we actually had him scheduled for May. He had to cancel out because of a family member of his. I believe it was his brother getting married. So he's actually supposed to come up in May, but than that. So we said, hey, you free August 20th? Yes, I am. You're coming up. It's just, you know, he's seeing, which a lot of guys are, that not a lot of wrestling companies around the United States, and I don't stand true to that, that getting this much good buzz about something that, so you know, a company's doing. And he's seeing that, and he's good friends with, you know, guys like David Young and stuff that's a regular of mine, and he says, you know, this is professional at its best. This is good times, good crowd, good locker room, no BS, no drama. It's, you come up here, have fun, and it brings back memories, you know, and that's why guys like him, or, you know, I'm able to secure guys like a Raven, or Jerry Lynn made our May show the first show for him to come back from back surgery. Complete honor in my book. I've known Jerry for years, and for him to go, I'm going to hold off on booking, and your show is going to be in Nashville, my hometown. Well, by the way, I'm going to return there because you guys are picking up so much steam. And it's an honor. Or to get guys like a Rikishi or Maria, biggest sweetheart in the world. I'll go as she's the biggest sweetheart and girls in wrestling, bar none, that I've met.
We'll agree with you. She had a lot of sweetheart last week.
Yeah, and I'm 10 years in the business. 10 years was August 1st, you know. So it's August 2nd, I believe. Yeah, so I'm 10 years into it, and her is amazing. And for, you know, she doesn't, the only other indie show that she's done is for Mike O'Brien, who I know in Northeast Wrestling, out in the Northeast, who runs like New York, Connecticut and stuff. She's done that stuff. Other than that, I called her up out of the blue, said, hey, here's the deal, blah, blah, blah. She was like all about it. And people are buzzing off. What? She never does wrestling stuff. Why is she here? You know, Rikishi, for great example, you never really see his name too much around these days, and he's coming, you know, like, you know, a lot of stuff in the works that we have planned, you know, that press conference that you mentioned, August 19th that we're doing, you know, we're going to mention some future stuff that we got going on, you know, that going to get Nashville, you know, up and run, you know, up and running, hopefully excited for more shows to come. You know, so because we got a lot more planned. I tell every fan tells me when they order tickets, if it's via, you know, email or phone or something, 8 out of 10 fans will tell me, you know, man, we keep hoping more shows are coming. And I tell them, you keep up the support like you are, they're going to keep coming. We want the support. If Nashville don't want us here, then we're not, you know, we're not going to force it down your throats, but people keep coming back and we see pre-sales growing and growing and growing when, how many independents have a pre-sale these days?
Yeah,
a good one at that. You know what I mean? A good one where I look at the numbers of where we're at now, and we're about just a little bit less than 3 weeks away, and we're beating, with a pre-sale, an average Ring of Honor crowd. And they're supposed to be the third biggest wrestling company. They're the third biggest wrestling company in the world right now. And we're averaging their stuff, you know, or, you know, a TNA show and on a bad night, you know, it's like we must be doing something, you know, and it's a true honor to see something that was an idea just to do a one-time deal, and then all of a sudden it's kept open. We said, hey, let's rock and roll, and at the fairgrounds closed at the end of 2012, and then, hey, we had a good 2-year run in that building, then we'll go somewhere else. But I think with the steam and everything that's picking up and stuff, I think the fairgrounds is going to survive. I truly believe that.
Also on this show, fans are, as we mentioned the last week when we had Maria on, one of the best regional tag teams they had some time in WWE, PG-13 is going to be basically imploding at this event. The infamous Jamie Dundee is going to be taking on Wolfie D. What happened? For fans that may not be following the internet or the interwebs, can you give some insight into what the heck led these two to face off on the Fairgrounds 3 show?
Yeah, from what I know just a little bit more than what you guys know. And it was, you know, the original card was to have Road Dogg and Wolfie D team up, because they teamed up back in the USWA days against Diamonds in the Rough. Now, Road Dogg couldn't do that due to a tour that was date conflicted, so he will be up in the future with us. And so, I went with, you know, the whole 2 Cool reunion and stuff, and everyone's been buzzing big, and that left Wolfie hanging. Somewhere around that, Jamie Dundee must pay attention to the internet or something, because it was, you know, you see the on a press release, plus this person, you kind of like, they're going to be there, you know, type of deal. Jamie saw that and got a call, and he demanded that, you know, and there's something that happened, I wouldn't say inside the ring, but I guess the backstage that not too many fans see, that the reason why PG-13 don't team up anymore, and Jamie's taking it to big heart, you know, from what he's told me, that, you know, on these tribute shows, Jamie's reached out to try to settle a difference. Wolfie has to Jamie to settle a difference to bring PG-13 back with the fans on the sea inside the fairground. And that didn't happen, so Wolfie called up Road Dogg to team up with that. And Jamie took big offense to that, and he demanded this match to happen. So, you know, I took advantage of it because I think that's hot. That's a huge match, especially in Southern wrestling. I don't know what's going to happen, to be very honest with you. Jamie requested the match and has a return call since. It says, I'm going to be there August 20th. I'll see you then. Tell Wolfie it'll be good to see him. Wolfie hits me up. I don't know what's going to happen until they get into the ring. You know, everyone wonders why it's not me going, oh, I think this would be a fun match to have, let's do it. I was not the brainchild to do that stuff. It was Jamie Dundee requested that stuff, and I said, well, if you want to do it, I think the fans will like it. Okay. And so some personal reasons to come to, it's the southern version of the Mega Powers exploding, I guess.
Wow.
If you will.
Yep. We talked with Hammerjack about his match with Raven, but we're going to talk with Jerry Lynn next week, 9 o'clock Eastern, about his match with Kid Cash, the Notorious K.I.D. There is a double main event to this show. The first part is our guest next week, which is Rikishi. Jerry Lynn is in 2 weeks on the 16th. He'll be teaming up with Brian Christopher to take on the Diamonds in the Rough. But the one that's got me interested and a lot of fans interested is this Memphis Legends steel cage match between superstar Bill Dundee and a man with seems like every he's got political aspirations. He's got another book coming with Dirty Dutch Mantel. Is he like getting in over his head here with Bill Dundee? As I said, you look at Dutch's Facebook page every so often, and he's doing more politicking. Is he ready for this?
As you said, Dutch has a lot going on. I call it he's in a paint store, and he has a lot of paint cans open. He's dipping his hands in a lot of things. At that, you know, that this whole match came about with Bill has some unfinished business with Dutch from the January show, because Dutch was the guest referee for the main event, and Bill believes that Dutch screwed him over the win against Lawler. And Bill's been asking for this and asking for it and asking for it. And finally got, you know, I asked Dutch, he agreed to it, and Bill said, no way, shape, or form, we're doing this once and for all. We're ending this now, and it's got to be in a steel cage. And Dutch agreed to it. We signed the deal. It's on. And I go on Dutch's Facebook, and I see him telling Bill Dundee how it is and getting all these fan responses and stuff. So I want to say that Dutch is ready. You know, he's talking the talk, and hopefully they're going to walk the walk. You know, I saw Bill this past Saturday at a show here in Nashville that George Gulas promoted. First thing that Bill did, he shook my hand and said, I'm ready to beat that old man Bleep on August 20th. First thing out, not a hello, Marcus, how you doing type of deal. So, like I said with the whole Jamie Wolfie, there's some personal stuff that goes beyond the business, if you will, and there's no better way to settle it than inside of a steel cage. So, yep.
As we mentioned, this is on Saturday, August the 20th, and as we mentioned with Hammerjack, and we'll mention it again next week and the week after when Maria is here, Luau Louie's Hula Hut in downtown 2nd Avenue on Friday night. She will be hanging out there. The press conference is 11 o'clock. It's at the fairgrounds. Am I correct in that one?
Yeah, it's at the fairgrounds. It's free of charge for fans. Fans are allowed to come. Every single news media is coming there. And when does wrestling get put in the news in a good light?
Yeah.
I don't think it's happened in a very long time, to be very honest with you. They're all going to be there. Some newspapers going to be there. Maria, Rikishi, Dutch, Jerry Lynn. I'm forgetting people. Shane Williams, Hammerjack will all be there, plus some surprises. And like I said, the fans are allowed to come. It's free of charge. It's at 11. You know, with that, we got a busy media day. You know, we're going to be on the news before that, and then the press conference that's going to air on every single news station that night, and we got radio interviews during that day. So that whole last week of the show, we're on all kinds of news stations and radio and stuff like that, on top of all doing all the radio stuff for you guys. So
yep.
It's crazy to see a wrestling company. It's not crazy. It's crazy in a good way to see it. We're doing something right and really growing and giving the fans something, plus the city, for them to really get behind us and stuff. So hopefully it continues, because we got a lot of stuff planned, you know. We just signed a deal for September, October. We're bringing Crossfire Wrestling to Nashville September, October, and November. So,
oh, wonderful.
You know, there's no breaks in between there. You know, we're going to be part of the state fair. So the fair that's coming back to Nashville, Crossfire is going to be there doing a show there in September, October. We just signed the small little show, that will be in downtown Nashville at Luau Louie's. in October, and then November is the next big sports arena show, and August 19th will be at the press conference will be the people that are coming in that, you know, as people can see, like, these shows gradually get bigger and bigger and bigger, and I say August is the birth child, and this is the true test of what Crossfire is all about, but November, to be very honest with you, has outbeat the show already on paper. And outmatches what we got going on for August. And August is, in my opinion, grade A+. You can't get any better. And somehow Hammerjack and I have gotten ourselves better in for November. So it's something for the fans. That, you know, I tell them if they want to come and know about, come to the press conference, come to August 9th to find out who's coming in, because what we got planned for this year and already talking about next year, it's going to be very good.
That is tremendous. As mentioned, go to Crossfire, one word, LLC.VZE.com. You can hear all about it, and we'll run in a few moments when we come back from the other side of the break, the guests that Marcus has procured for us. Coming up after the break, we will get in everything with WWE, TNA, and some of the indie scene, including WSU's event this Saturday, which is a double DVD taping. All I Will of Wrestling Radio, we will be right back.
Professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the indie scene, all this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a month's click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley,
plus the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling talents today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Barry. Janice McDowell.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the $1 million man.
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Vance, the Boogie Woogerman.
And tomorrow.
Peter Wilson.
Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith.
Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling. Online. It's the site of the pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Hello, Fear Restaurant. May I help you?
Oh, yes. I'd like to place an order, please.
What would you like?
Vegetable fried rice.
Huh?
Vegetable fried rice.
Only vegetable.
Vegetable
Hello?
Fried rice. Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Vegetable
no
fried
meat.
Rice.
And do you... Egg is okay? No egg.
Egg. Egg okay. Egg okay.
Okay.
No bok choy?
Oh, we don't have bok choy.
No bok choy? Okay.
Yeah.
Snow peas? You have snow peas?
Yeah, we have snow peas.
Extra snow peas.
What do you mean? You mean fried rice?
Yes, fried rice.
Oh, fried rice, we don't have snow peas.
No snow peas?
Yeah.
The chicken? You put chicken in there?
Yeah, we have chicken fried rice.
But
you want chicken fried rice?
No, I want the vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Oh, that means chicken fried rice, yeah?
No, vegetable fried rice with the chicken.
Hello, we have seafood fried rice, beef fried rice, chicken fried rice. Or if you don't want meat, we can make a vegetable fried rice for you. So you want chicken or no chicken?
No, I want the vegetables and the chicken. Can you do both?
We have like fried rice, we have green peas inside. Not too much vegetables.
Never mind. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein, the inventor of the light bulb, the creator of the internet, a professional grass waterer, and of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Aw, you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/Wild Talk Radio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
Here's a quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
Hey! You! Go! Wild Talk! Wild Talk! You want Wild Talk? This is George the Animal Steel. Hey! You go! Bye-bye.
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, about the Wild Talk Radio Network. WildTalkRadio.com is their very cool home site that you can find out about all their programming, which can also be heard on UltimateSportsTalk.com. Thanks to Marcus Pistorius for joining us with that amazing event. And as mentioned, next week, 9 o'clock, the one and only Rikishi Fatu will be joining us. Mason Spug will be joining us in a second here, too, because I get to drop another cool announcement. Thanks to an event that is going to be taking place next weekend in a part of Illinois I'm not familiar with called Cave and Rock, Illinois. The Insane Clown Posse is going to be presenting the Gathering of the Juggalos. 24 hours of nonstop fun. It starts the 11th to the 14th. There will be a huge wrestling event on the 12th that will be available on iPay-Per-View. And next Tuesday night, 9:30 Eastern, the one and only Necro Butcher. One of the most articulate people you'll ever meet, who can also staple dollar bills to himself, will be with us.
I can't wait for that, dude.
That's going to be tremendous. And don't forget, after that, on the 16th, we get back into the final run to the Tribute to the Fairgrounds 3, the Evil Effin' Show. Jerry Lynn will be here, and she had so much fun with us. Maria Kanellis will join us again, and there are other guests in the works as we move on here each and every Tuesday evening. Adrian 11 UK, this is only his second time here with us. That's awesome. Thanks for coming and joining us here on the show. We're going to run through TNA Wrestling really quick, as much as you guys want me to. Well, I got a pay-per-view this Sunday. I got a pimp, but the problem is this pay-per-view is not fully announced. We got to experience this past Thursday night one of the more weird evenings, such as your World X Division champion defended the championship in an Ultimate X. Everybody's thinking, cool, Brian Kendrick fought Alex Shelley and Austin Aries, and I'm like, wrong. That's at the pay-per-view, champ. Instead, we got to see an Ultimate X match, Brian Kendrick versus Abyss. Interesting, needless to say the least. He had to be granted a rematch. Just the quote-unquote director of network executive is Sting? or at least he made it seem that way, and that was one of his things that he threw in there. Did either one of you happen to partake in this epic match?
You're asking me if I bothered to watch TNA.
I know, but I still have to keep hope alive.
No, no. The hope alive would happen if TNA actually puts on a compelling and decent show.
Well, you also had a steel cage match of Mr. Anderson taking on Kurt Angle, which had everybody in the free human world getting involved in. I think I saw my daughter running around ringside there. Bound for Glory series matches that took place. RVD defeated Gunner. So RVD now has 28 points. Gunner is at 28 as well. We had Crimson. Goldberg, I think, was the chant during this match. Defeat Bully Ray. So Crimson at this point has got 38. Unfortunately, as we mentioned last week, injured Matt Morgan is going to be out 6 to 8 weeks. He's still at 24. Now, if I remember the way this was pimped at us by TNA Wrestling, it's the top four are going to face off at the No Surrender pay-per-view. So if that happens, this gets weird, because then you've got Crimson at 38 at this point, RVD and Gunner at 28. Take Matt Morgan out of the equation, now you've got a logjam of Bobby Roode, D-Von, and Bully Ray at 21. So if you're creative to Mace or to Spug, do you want to see Crimson versus RVD versus Gunner versus Bully Ray? Or do you want D-Von, or do you want Bobby Roode in this match?
It would be Bully Ray, because that seems to be the only guy that TNA would be willing to put into that match.
Yeah, and when did he also become a member of the... He seems to be, you know, like a director of authority, executive type, too. Of all the people, I never expected Bully Ray to step up there.
Well, meh. When he comes out wearing a suit, then I'll get worried.
Yeah, it was a one night only, Adrian, in our chat room. It was a one night only for Destination X is why they brought back the ring. But if you end up watching the All Wheels Wrestling, if it ever airs on TV, they're using the six-sided ring. Also on this show, it looks like maybe at the pay-per-view we're going to get Tracy Brooks and Velvet Sky taking on ODB and Jackie Moore. I don't believe that match has been announced yet. If it has, Sirach and the God of the Internet and Radio itself chime in through my private chat. It would help me a lot. Already announced a Bound for Glory series match, and this has been coming, I believe, from the Explosion show, which no one in America is watching, and I don't know if they're watching internationally. I know you're not able to in Australia, are you, unless you resort to technology?
Unless I resort to technology, I don't see it, nor do I really care about it. I'd rather watch TNA Epics, which shows stuff from the old days of TNA, when it was decent.
Oh, we'll talk about that in a second, because that got interesting on the interwebs this week. So we got the Pope D'Angelo Nero versus Devon, a three-way match for the X Division Championship, which on paper looks like it's going to be really cool. And it is the Brian Kendrick, the champion, taking on Alex Shelley, taking on what many are calling in my social circle the new egomaniac, known as Austin Aries. I can't see this match being bad, and all three of these guys can hold their own, and I'm hoping this turns out to be a great one. Any qualms in this match? Are you fine with this booking of these three?
Couldn't care less.
Yeah, dude.
All right, positive thinking. Appreciate that.
Okay, here's the deal, Alan. Here's the deal. TNA will become relevant again when they get rid of certain individuals. I'm not going to be
the champion.
I'm not going to beat a dead drum or a dead horse. I'm not going to beat the drum of a dead horse. Whatever.
Something like that. That's okay.
It's involving dead horses, beatings, and drums. You do the math.
All right, let me wrap it up by saying there's two other world title matches. Your world tag team champions, Beer Money, will take on Mexican America and your world champion Sting, dressed whatever costume he shows up in, will take on Kurt Angle, depending on what costuming he shows up in. Hoping this works out well as they get going towards their traveling stuff, which will take them, I believe, to Von Braun in Alabama, the date, the original start of NWA TNA back in 2002. So that out of the way, there really wasn't much other TNA wrestling news. This week it was WWE news. Now before we get to Friday Night SmackDown and we get to Monday Night Raw and all the fun that is CM Punk, need to bring up a couple news and notes. Responding to a fan's question on her Twitter account on why she was not in the Divas Battle Royal on Raw last evening, Maurice replied by saying that she will not be getting physical for a while as she will be going under abdominal hernia surgery. The 28-year-old blonde bombshell was initially advertised for the event and even wrestled on last week's program. It is not clear if her injury is wrestling-related or how long she will be out wrestling-wise, so we wish her nothing but the best. Speaking of injuries, Tyrone Evans, who we've talked about on the show before, who wrestled for WWE as Michael Tarver, has launched a Twitter rant against your friend and mine, and that would be John Cena. And boy, was he having fun on Twitter, as we found out when we watched Monday Night Raw together. Mr. Evans is accusing Cena of purposely fracturing his arm with a chair shot, then claims that backstage afterward laughed in his face about it. Evans explains,
who is
this? Tyrone Evans, Michael Tarver. He explains his life has taken a nosedive since WWE released him. His girlfriend left him, his mother, and that the mother of his daughter, who he describes as an addict, has blocked his daughter from relocating to Tampa, Florida with him. Evans goes on to tweet that he doesn't like Cena, but respects his work, saying John Cena is a superstar and a workhorse for WWE, just not a very good person. Is this bitterness on him, or do you think something like this really happened?
I know Tyrone.
Well, that's why I bring it up for you.
I know him. It's not like we're boys. I don't talk to him every day. I think like the last time I talked to him was maybe a year ago at a show. I should say we're more acquaintances than anything. And the times that I've talked to him, he is a really good guy, and he'll do what's right for business. But I have heard that he allegedly can get like this when he doesn't get his way. You know what I mean? I've never seen it, so I can't say, yeah, he's like that. But it amazes me that he's going to go out and accuse John Cena of essentially what happened to Hogan when Hogan started training, getting his arm broken.
Thoughts on this, Mace? Do you think this is just bitterness, or do you think he's got a legit claim here? I mean, I haven't seen any other wrestler that came out going, yeah, I was there, I saw it all.
I'd probably say sour grapes, but at the same time, I must be nice just in case I get re-signed to the company.
He's taking the high road like Billy Gunn recently has. We brought this up with our interview at Hammerjack. Ontario-based indie performer Devin Nicholson has filed a multi-million-dollar lawsuit against WWE Hall of Famer Abdullah the Butcher, who is known in his real life as Larry Shreve, age 70, after he contracted Hep C, which is a virus that affects the liver's ability to function properly. Nicholson is claiming that Abdullah infected him with the virus a few years ago during a bloody match when he was cut with a razor blade that Abdullah had also used on himself. Nicholson seeking damages in the amount of $6.5 million in paperwork that was filed last week in the Ontario Superior Court of Justice. Nicholson is claiming he was offered a contract with WWE in 2009, but it was rescinded shortly after because of the virus being active. He also did a tryout with TNA last October, and they also didn't hire him for the same reason. Nicholson attorney Ron Caza, C-A-Z-A, apparently met with Abdullah last year at his barbecue joint in Atlanta. Abdullah apparently reportedly agreed to submit the blood work, but at the time changed his mind after the meeting and has since ignored all attempts to contact Mr. Nicholson's lawyers. So when you've both trained, you're both trained performers, you run the risk of blood being in the ring. But have you, I asked Hammerjack this, so I asked this first to you guys. I'll go to Mace first, and then I got a second one I want to ask. Is this ever a fear of yours when you're told by a promoter, all right, we need some color tonight, brother, and you're going to have to do it? Do you ever worry about this kind of stuff?
I'm lucky enough that a promoter has never come up to me and said, we need you to bleed. So I've never run into that situation. However, if you're going to try and book somebody who reportedly might have Hep C, like Abdullah the Butcher, then it's probably best not to book him and avoid the risks and lawsuits that could quite possibly come from that situation. Spug would know more about this than I do.
Yeah, okay, well, that's where we refer to you.
He points to me. He's like, he points to me, he's like, that's the guy who bleeds. Talk to him.
Weren't you proud of that fact the other day, motherfucker?
I'm the one with the blade. I am. He's the one that juices. Talk to him. Yeah. You know, I've never had a promoter come to me and go, we need you to color. I've always gone to the promoter and like, so if this is the match type, it would be really good if someone gets some color. Can I? Like, I'm the one that goes and asks. I don't wait for a promoter to come to me. I go to them and be like, dude, can I bleed? And usually most promoters, you know, will take you for your word of, you know, the, you know, are you clean? You know, yes, I'm clean. I don't. And you tend to only, this is going to sound really horrible, but Mace will know what I'm talking about. You tend to only bleed on guys that you trust.
Sounds like an adult film set here. I only go with the people I know.
No. Like,
I get what you're saying. I didn't mean to make light of the situation.
No. But as a promoter, though, if you know that there is rumored innuendo going around that certain guys may have Hep C, or they may have some other nasty disease toiling around in their bloodstream, you're not bringing them in. You're not. Or you're not letting them color, because when Abby bleeds, he shakes all over the damn place and gets blood over the first two rows. I've been to a show that Abby's been on.
All right, now it leads to the other question I want to ask real quick, and Jersey Girl brought it up in our chat room. How is Nicholson, you know, he's looking at Abdullah going, that's the man right there that did it. How do we know that this guy is, you know, not wrestled other people and bled? I mean, are there tests in certain promotions? Do certain states in the U.S. or over in Canada? I know Kentucky, if you bleed, the match has to be done within like 30 seconds or you're toast. But I mean,
well, Kentucky, you have to be licensed.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Kentucky's real, real stringent, and there's a group of individuals in Ohio who are trying to get the same type of regulation and legislation passed through in Ohio, but it'll never happen because the way the state looks at professional wrestling is, here, give us your $500 for your promoter's license. Okay, go away.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, go wrestling bars where people throw fireworks in the ring.
Yeah.
Now, what's the situation overseas for you? Is it is it licensing for you down there, Mace, or what's required to be a professional wrestler in Australia?
You go, you train, and when you're good enough, you're told, "Hey, get in the ring."
Yeah, there's no licensing.
There's no licensing, wow. No registration, not even promoter's license here.
Which is, to me, like...
We're moving to Australia, let's go pack it up.
Well, that's, you know, like, a level of responsibility that needs to be there, you know? Like, I can't sit there and imagine that an entire government would want you know, and it sounds bad, but like in the United States, I think it's Kentucky. There's like four or five states that have rules similar to Kentucky's.
I know the Kentucky one from living in Tennessee. Like Hammerjack is one that I remember when I asked him about it. I said, you know, you guys could color around here. I said, brother, if I bust my lip open by accident, if I bust myself the hard way, the Kentucky people are telling me, brother, you better wrap this crap up. And I'm like, are you serious?
Yeah, well, I did one show in Kentucky once, and I did not juice at that one. But I do know that there's a representative from the Athletic Commission there at every show. They get a list of shows that are going on across the state of Kentucky that weekend, and they go and check to make sure that the wrestlers are licensed and that the promoters are licensed and that everything is kosher with the venue. When I went down to wrestle at the show, I had to file paperwork in Kentucky, pay my $15 to get my license, which was good for 1 year, I think.
Oh, wow.
So, I know there's like four or five states with rules that are similar, maybe not as stringent, but similar to Kentucky. And I just, to not even require a promoter's license in Australia is just asking for trouble.
Yeah, I know there's certain states, which Jersey Girl just said. I know in Jersey you can bleed, see it done. Anywhere combat zone wrestling goes, you know there's going to be some blood going on. Let's go ahead.
Well, like, I mean, keeping on the blood topic for a second.
Go right ahead.
You know, and staying with Abby, you know, there are several, I'm sure, there are several guys around the business, either big names or not big names, who have some sort of communicable blood disease. And it's common human decency to at least, you know, if a promoter comes up to me and says, I want you to color, and if you have something like that, it's common human decency to go, I can't. I don't want to get anybody sick.
Does it bother either one of you that if this claim is true and Abdullah does have Hep C and gave it to this gentleman, it's almost like an adult film actor, and I laughed at it before, but to get serious for a minute, it's almost like an adult film actor knowing that they have HIV or full-blown AIDS and performing a scene without protection, and now just a holy crap outbreak. I mean, he's obviously in the wrong, and even at 70 years old and being a legend that he is, or am I reading this wrong?
Oh, I don't think you're wrong at all.
I know it's a sensitive area to go into.
No,
I feel bad.
No, it's not sensitive at all. It bothers me that, all right, say you were promoting a show, right, Alan?
Mm-hmm.
And you want Mace and I to do a a barbed wire match. Well, the likelihood that there's gonna be getting color the hard way in that match is, what, 75-80%?
I'll agree with that, sure.
You know, I mean, you can avoid the barbed wire, but the likelihood that you're gonna hit it at some point and color the hard way is about 80%. Now, if you come to both of us and say, you guys are gonna color, you know, whether you want to or not because of the match type, I would expect, as mutual respect from another individual who is in the locker room and knows what it takes to even just get there and has, you know, gone through some of the same things that I've gone through, I would expect that individual to have the common respect for me to go, you know what, I really can't do this. And even if you don't want to say right there in public, I have Hep C, or I have HIV, or I have this, or I have that can be transmitted through blood, at least pull the promoter aside. So I don't even care if it's the day of the show. You know, at least pull the promoter aside and say, I can't do this because.
Mm-hmm.
Or have the ultimate respect, and when you've learned you've contracted one of those diseases, fucking retire.
That's got to be the best thing to do. I mean, I feel for this gentleman. He's a young guy. I believe he's 30 years old, and he's never going to be booked anywhere. But well, he could be booked, but just, hey, dude, no blood. Stay away from it. Let's move into WWE. There was an article in the Peoria Star. Peoria, I guess, is Illinois?
Yes.
Might be close on that one. With Eve Torres,
Peoria is Illinois.
This was from, she did a media interview like folks do with our friend Phil Strum of the Poughkeepsie Journal and also Jim Barcelone and Scott Fishman of the Miami Herald. She did one with the Peoria Star, saying that divas have it hard. She expressed her frustration with the lack of time the divas are getting on TV on Raw and SmackDown. She said that the division is struggling right now in terms of TV time. Quote, we have to work basically in a man's world. I definitely, without sounding like I'm complaining, will state that we have it the hardest in the WWE. You don't see much of us on TV programming. She added that the divas have much more fun performing at house shows or live events, as WWE is now referred to them. She goes on to say, I think we can take the diva brand to the next level to show that we can be respectful women, educated women, portraying this image. We have a lot of young girls watching and a lot of young boys as well. Within the Divas division, I have a few more title runs to do. Through that, we'll be able to take the Divas division to the next level and quiet the haters, if you will. Mace, we talk about the Divas and the Knockouts here all the time because we do enjoy watching the women's wrestling, but is this just bitch moaning and groaning about, you know, they're featuring the Bella Twins, but I'm Kelly Kelly's sidekick and it should be me instead of Kelly Kelly? Or is she right in that this is the case with the division these days?
Well, when it comes down to the Divas, basically, if they want us to take them seriously, how about getting the ones that can wrestle in the ring and have them wrestling? You know, where's Gail Kim? You know, we just saw Beth Phoenix win the Battle Royal this past weekend. But who's she going up against? Kelly Kelly the Stick. You know, I would like to see they bring in women that can wrestle and do sweet fuck all with them. And that's why I prefer to turn to other promotions like Shimmer, like WSU, where the women don't just look good, they can actually wrestle and give us the proper entertainment that this sport, not sports entertainment, is involved.
Oh, to you, Spug, agree, disagree with what's been said here?
I think Kelly Kelly needs to shut her mouth. You know,
I think that may happen in 2 weeks at SummerSlam, at the way we watch Monday Night Raw, man. But is Eve right? Is she right in saying that, you know, we have it hard here? But, oh, I mean, and before you answer...
No, oh, sorry, Kelly, I thought you were sorry. I thought Kelly said all that. I apologize.
No, this is Eve Torres
no,
saying
Eve
it.
No, Eve needs to shut her mouth, too.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's just interesting because... We've heard this kind of stuff before, and this was during when Trish Stratus was around, and Ivory was there, and Jackie Moore was there, and Lita was around. You know, I believe at one point it was Survivor Series 01 that on the Kayfabe commentaries disc that Ivory did, she was kind of talking about how, you know, they gave us 3 whole minutes on a 3 freaking hour long pay-per-view, and it's like, you know, Is she right? I mean, other than she has to shut up, is she right in what she's saying, that they need to focus on the divas a little bit more? I mean, it's a 2-hour block, but, you know, how many commercials, honestly, are on there?
Okay, first of all, what divas... Honey, if you want to be called a diva, go sing a pop song. Get your auto-tune voice ready. I don't want to see divas. I don't want to see superstars. I want to see fucking wrestlers. I'm sorry for swearing.
You're okay.
But I want to see wrestlers. I want to see Mae Young and Moolah and Richter and Blaze and Sensational Sherry. I want to see women who... If I want to watch women's wrestling, I want to watch women who know how to wrestle. I want to see Gail Kim and Natty and Alicia Fox, who actually can wrestle. Or not Alicia Fox. Yeah, it is Alicia Fox. She's on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to see her, the little brunette thing that was on SmackDown Friday, wearing, like, the Argyle plaid.
That may have been Caitlyn or AJ or Rosa Mendez. I'm never sure these days.
AJ, I think it was either Caitlyn. I can't remember, but I mean, it was a 3-on-3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was Alicia Fox taking with Tamina and Rosa Mendez defeating the Natty Neidhart, Caitlyn, and AJ.
Yeah, and I was like, oh my god, actual women's wrestling. Women, they're letting them wrestle. Holy shit! It bothers me. It absolutely bothers me that individuals like Eve or Kelly or, you know, one of the other bimbos who can't wrestle to save her soul, and Kelly has gotten better, but she still can't wrestle to save her soul, would sit there and go, we need more television time. Open your mouth, insert dick, shut the fuck up.
Plus, there's also that other problem, as it's just been brought up. Couldn't work out who it was, whether it was Eve or AJ or whoever it was on SmackDown. They all look the same. Personality, different gimmicks. What do you think got us all hyped about Awesome Kong joining WWE? She was different. She stood out from the pack.
Yeah, and at least that's what you see. Everybody bashes the TNA product, but when you look at what the Beautiful People did for a while there with their gimmick, that was different. That was something you hadn't seen before, and you have someone like ODB, who is way different than anything you'll see around.
I love that bitch.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see her on pay-per-view. The rest of Friday Night SmackDown went down like this. Your current World Heavyweight Champion, Christian, defeated John Morrison in a non-title affair. Mark Henry destroyed Bobby Howard. The New Nexus, or whatever the heck that team is called, defeated the Usos to retain their WWE Tag Team titles. Cody Rhodes and Ted DiBiase in a handicap match set up by Zack Ryder. That's right. He's over on SmackDown, too, as Teddy Long's assistant. He booked it, and unfortunately...
Broski.
Yeah.
Broski.
Unfortunately, your Intercontinental Champion Ezekiel Jackson fell. R-Truth defeated Randy Orton via DQ, which also leads to what's being taped tonight. I believe it is Mark Henry is taking on Sheamus is what was being taped for this evening.
Un momento, por favor.
I have breaking news from SmackDown.
Uh-oh.
No, don't. If it's the news I'm thinking of, I'm already crying over that bad thing.
Siraj is shaking his head, too.
Sheamus versus Mark Henry is announced for SummerSlam, and Sheamus versus the Great Khali is announced for SmackDown.
No.
Oh, and what's your breaking news, Spug?
Colt Cabana work a dark match tonight.
Yeah, he worked with Barrett. Yippee! Scotty knows.
Girl.
Bring him back, Cole.
Why is Rock giving me the no-no face? What?
I don't know. Yeah, can't. Oh, I'm telling him. Type it out. Speak.
Why am I getting the no-no face?
You always get the no-no face. Every time you open your mouth, you get the no-no face.
Oh, by the way, y'all want to do a quick interview?
Do we want to do a quick interview?
Mm-hmm.
With somebody interviewing us?
No. Oh. We, head promoter of MCW out of Alliance, Ohio, guy by the name of Shasta McNasty, used to wrestle on NWA Wildside. They have an event coming up on Thursday for Hall of Fame Week, and he is also my trainer.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I wanted to extend the invitation to him, and I said, hey, we're on the air. You know, if you want to come on, pimp your event. We're all about the indies.
Yeah, we'll do it at 11. We have a few minutes at 11. We can have him stop by if that works for him.
Let me ask him. I've been texting him back and forth.
That's what you've been doing. You're not focused on us. You're focused on other fun stuff, which is cool.
Dude, I've been dealing with a bunch of bullshit.
Know.
I just found out the promotion that I've been busting my ass for because of some stupid people on Sunday is now canceling all the rest of their events for the summer.
The IWA event? Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm none too pleased about that.
That's horrible. You'll be forced to watch the pay-per-view. No, you won't. You'll be busy. You're never watching a TNA pay-per-view ever again.
If I'm not wrestling Sunday night, I might as well do something.
All right. We got to talk while we're waiting for the Spug guy to come back.
I'm right here. I'm just texting.
Okay, well, we will talk about the fun that was Monday Night Raw, and we got the answer to the great question that everyone's been wanting to know since last Monday night, which was, okay, Cena got a belt, Punk got a belt, little kid five rows in got a belt. Who the hell's the damn WWE champion? CM Punk made his return.
Alan?
Yes,
sir. Alan? Yes. As CM Punk puts it, it's not a belt.
Belt.
I know, it's a championship title.
There you go.
But it's the way, it's just like, everybody's got one. I can walk down and go, I'm the champ too, dude, deal with it. But it looks like, thanks to Triple H getting involved here, we've got two champs. And we're apparently going to have a title for title at SummerSlam. Winner takes all.
I'm almost willing to guarantee you that it doesn't end at SummerSlam and goes to Night of Champions, and we see that old, god-awful, undisputed belt come back.
At least it won't be the friggin' spinner.
That belt wasn't too bad. I've seen better championships. It's not, of course, the... That's right, Jersey Girl, even Zack Ryder has a championship, which Cole made great fun of last night during the non-title tag bout, which was Otunga and McGillicuddy defeating Santino and Zack Ryder. So far, this is the second week we've had Triple H around. Thoughts so far? Do you want to give him a small grade? Is he overshadowing storylines yet, or do you think he's being used right, Spug? I know he's your husband, but give us an honest opinion. I know we asked last week, but it's nice to get an update.
And if he's overshadowing?
Yeah, is he overshadowing? Especially during the promo at the end of the evening that had Johnny Ace involved. There was wrestling people call him Johnny Laryngitis, and Mace goes, now I know why.
By the way, he says 11's cool.
Cool.
I don't think he's overshadowing storylines. I think that he is kind of helping along the one between CM Punk and John Cena. And mm-hmm. I think he's doing it well. The only problem I had with last night was that opening promo between him and Punk got a little awkward. And it wasn't like a good or a bad awkward. It was just sort of, they got a little too personal awkward. I mean, watching it as a fan, I still want to suspend belief for a little bit. And I still want that veil of imagination to be there. You know, I know Triple H is married to Stephanie McMahon. I know they have three kids. I know CM Punk. I know about the contract disputes. But for once, you know, I would like to sit there and watch and go, these two guys don't like each other because Triple H is now in an authority role and CM Punk is anti-authoritarian. And I want to be enveloped in that story. And they do a decent job of it. It's, I think that they need to, just dial it down just a tad.
So you think it was like, there's the line, don't cross it, and both of them just said, like, what line? Really? Popped over it.
Yeah.
Do you agree with this, Mace, or were you fine with the on-the-mic performance of these two gentlemen over the evening?
I was fine with it. I had no problems with the promo whatsoever. But then again, you know, I pretty much sitting there going, yeah, this is fun. This is different. This is getting people involved and opinions involved that would never have seen the light of day ever if things keep going the way they were.
Were either one of you upset or bothered, or were you fine with Johnny Ace coming out and doing his little shtick in the final segment of the night?
I like what Triple H said when Cena said, I'm going to punch you in the face right now. Triple H goes, don't look at me. I was like, oh, please hit him. Please hit him.
I've got no problems with it.
Yep. As we mentioned, Beth Phoenix is your number one contender after winning the Battle Royal. And then doing what Karma should have done a while back and sending Kelly flying all over the damn building. But the funny part of this whole event was you had some, you know, we talked about, you know, the wrestlers like Gail Kim and Melina's in there and everybody. And all I did was go and walk my dog Maggie and I came back in and I'm like, holy crap, where'd all the women go? And Jackie Feist is typing at me going like, they had a massive elimination. Gail went out. Melina went out. And I'm like, what did they just say? Go, I don't want any part of this and leave? I mean, but neither one, everyone's fine with this match, this Beth Phoenix. I already started the Beth's going to kill you chant. So, I mean, can we book that right now for SummerSlam? Or do either one of you think Kelly's really got to keep the championship?
I think she's going to keep the title.
No,
seriously. I think she's going to keep the title.
Yeah, I mean, I'm happy with Beth finally going on. I'm tired of this crap. Come here, Barbie.
All right. I defend Kelly on a great number of things. Okay. I don't know if she's trying to play the dumb blonde, you know, innocent, sweet stereotype, or if she really is that way. I'm not sure. But her wrestling ability, while it has improved, leaves a lot to be desired of. And you have a great number of talent in that company in the women's division. Gail Kim, Natty, Beth Phoenix, Karma until she got knocked up, AJ, the list goes on. There's a great number of them. Why you would put the belt on her, first of all, really just boggles my mind. Second, if you want to have divas, put them in bikinis and parade them out with months of the year on a sash in front of them, okay? And leave the women's wrestling to actual women's wrestlers. Have your divas champion, who is nothing but a calendar model, and something for guys to oogle at, and then have actual women's wrestling.
So they should have kept the two championships, the WWE Women's Championship, which has been shelved for the butterfly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
It's weird. It's weird. I mean, can you agree, Mace, that the going to kill you chance are coming? I'm sorry. Go ahead, sir.
I would much rather see a almost 100-year-old Mae Young with the title than Kelly Kelly.
If Mae gets her way, it'll happen.
Nothing wrong with that.
She wants to wrestle on her 100th birthday.
Does she really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why not? She wants to let her get back in the ring with the Dudleys. They had lots of fun working with the old gal. Also on this show, we had the setup for another SummerSlam match. Your U.S. champion, Dolph Ziggler, is going to take on Alex Riley. Looks like we're going to get Kofi Kingston taking on the Money in the Bank man himself, Alberto Del Rio. We had a tag team match, The Miz and R-Truth defeating Morrison and Rey Mysterio. Not sure if Miz and Rey is going to be a match. They haven't announced that yet. I know R-Truth versus Morrison is an announced match for this thing. The Cena promo at the end made me chuckle a little bit, because if you're not on the in and you're not a historian, you didn't get the pops Johnny Ace, such as carrying a skateboard to the ring. It's like,
dynamic dudes.
Immediately looked at Shane Douglas in a corner going, ain't my fault. So they haven't announced anything yet here, but it will be winner take all, as Triple H made it sound. And we've already professed our feelings last week that this is, oh, too soon, way too soon, shouldn't be done for a while. But if this is it, if they're trying to end this real fast and then anoint Cena again or move Punk along his endeavor down the road, whatever that may be, is it, to Mace, because we were talking about last night, I was going like, ladder match, it's got to be a ladder, put Punk in the ladder thing. Is this, unless something happens next Monday night, is this a straight-up wrestling match? And would you rather it that way as opposed to a gimmick of a cage or the belts up in the air or something along those lines?
Sort of yes and no on this one, actually. They put on a really good match at, what was it, Over the Limit? Or whatever they call that.
It was Money in the Bank.
Money in the Bank, that's the one. You know, they did a great one-on-one standard wrestling match. I reckon they could do it again. But at this point, I think people are going, well, if you're going to rip off Razor Ramon and Shawn Michaels, you might as well go the whole hog and give them the ladder match. Then we can have CM Punk wrestling a ladder with John Cena just standing there doing nothing.
So he'll be just like, yeah, I'm in the ring, woohoo!
Pretty much.
Yeah. Do you want a ladder match out of these guys, or is that what maybe you mentioned, Spug, that this goes maybe to Night of Champions, or Mace mentioned it? Do you see that maybe being an end-all of them in a cage? Maybe even stretch this out to, let me look at my little timetable here. You could even stretch this to October 2nd in New Orleans and have them winner-take-all it at Hell in the Cell. Is that too far down the road to go?
That's too far down the road to go.
Okay, so is this a one-time deal? This ends at SummerSlam, or are we still in agreement? Maybe we go to Night of Champions and finish it off there somehow.
I said it's going to Night of Champions.
Okay.
And I am fully, fully in belief that it is going to go that far. I think that they are going to, that there is going to be some sort of double finish.
Maybe our friend Cabana?
No, the one thing I like about CM Punk in this feud with John Cena, one, he's spoken his mind. Two, all of his victories over John Cena in either tag matches or while they were building the feud have been clean. They've been clean wins. So to have it, you know, to have somebody come in and interfere, I think kind of defeats the purpose of the storyline as it's gone. I kind of think that maybe it's going to be the old double arm cover, where both men are lying on their back. Or
sounds very familiar. Wasn't this something I suggested last night?
Ooh.
Right. Right. Or
Spug and I think alike way too often.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, maybe the two referees.
Oh, goodness. Well, we have a double count on the shoulders type thing?
Yeah. You know, something. I think there's going to be a double finish at SummerSlam, and you're going to see...
There's no way these guys are going to do a time limit draw thing. It's a one-hour thing. WWE doesn't do that too often, so I agree with you on that one. There's got to be some sort of schmoz here.
There will be something. I firmly believe that it's going to be some sort of double finish. And if you use this, if you simply use this storyline, okay, to go from handshake agreement with Punk walking out of Money in the Bank with the championship, all of the viral media stuff that he did, up into coming back on that Monday Night Raw, him coming back, the promo work that he's done for the past month and a half, the wrestling at that 8-match tournament, what Rey Mysterio did in putting John Cena over last week. If you do all of that to simply anoint Cena at your second biggest pay-per-view of the year again with the WWE title, you have squandered a great opportunity with this storyline, one. And two, what was the one thing we said that the WWE couldn't do in this with this storyline so far? And that was screw up the cha-cha?
Mm-hmm.
They do that, they're screwing up the cha-cha.
At this point, we're going to take another time out because, as Spug announced, we're going to do a quick interview on the other side of this break here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. You're listening to Online World of Wrestling Radio.
Alicia from WSU Wrestling, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Use my body to keep you alive.
And welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. and several other websites. Pimp them for me real quick, Alan. I don't know them all. You have the list.
Is ultimatesportstalk.com and also wrwwrestling.net is where you can hear us, among other places, which we'll wrap when we wrap, we'll announce.
Awesome. We are currently joined by our third guest of the evening. He comes from NWA Wildside in Georgia. He used to wrestle AJ Styles. Is the second sexiest man in a kilt next to me.
Whoa.
And has an awesome event going on in Canton, Ohio this coming Thursday. Mr. Shasta.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
And he's also my trainer too, so I figured I'd put that out there.
That's why I threw the second sexiest man in comment there. He's doing a little kissing of the lower region, so to speak.
No. It's just because I want to wear the kilt, you know.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
How you doing, man?
Good. Doing good. How are you guys doing?
We're all right. You, Mace, you're doing that pedophile breathing thing again. No,
awesome.
I'm sorry.
Pedophile breathing and wrestling. Wow.
Well, you know, Mace, the way Mace's speakers are, it reverberates, and I like to screw with him when we're on the air about it.
I gotcha.
But I was texting you earlier, and you said you were at the movies. What'd you go see? Anything good?
No, I just went out. With the wife tonight and watched Horrible Bosses. You know, it is what it is. You know what to expect from it. You know, slapstick
right.
comedy or whatever. So it wasn't too bad. Buddy of mine just called me and said he went and watched Cowboys and Aliens and said it was horrible. So that kind of put a damper on me. I thought it looked pretty cool.
Right. I want to go see it too. But you are the promoter of MCW out of Alliance, Ohio.
And yeah. Well, we're actually out of the Canton, Massillon area, but our arena, our home arena is in the Alliance area. Just due to the fact that we've always had good fan response out there, and that's also where we run the school. But, yeah, you know, needless to say, that's where the WrestlePlex is.
Now, you've been doing MCW for 12 years now?
Yeah, we're going into our 12th year. We just had our 11-year anniversary back in March. Al Snow came in and did the show for us. He's a pretty good friend of ours, and came in and worked it. We always manage to bring in somebody that's been with us or been around us for a while on those type of shows. And year before that, he was doing Desmond Wolfe at the time, but Nigel McGuinness, we still call him Nigel, he worked for us for several years, and he came out and did the 11-year anniversary. So we try to mix it up a little bit. Al was out in March with us.
Yeah, we've had Al on this network a couple of times. He's a really good guy and fun to talk to. Extremely intelligent.
Yeah, very much. So we actually, when we do those, we normally have those guys do a seminar for the students as well. So, Al actually did about a 2.5-hour seminar with the students. You know, I try to let them get something out of that as well. He's a great teacher, of course, and knows the business really well. And one of the guys that still works that you can actually get a great match out of too when he comes in and works for you. We'll be talking about him again here shortly because of another show we've got coming up. But Al's a good guy.
Now you have a show coming up Thursday. It is Hall of Fame week here in Ohio, and unfortunately there is no
there is no
Hall of Fame game this year because of the lockout. But where's the show at? Where can people see it?
Yeah, we're gonna, you know, all the festivities, you know, people are a little bit down about the game, but you think about it, tourism-wise, you know, the induction, the ribs burn off, all the festivities, the parade, all that stuff is still going on, and, you know, the Hall of Fame game, you know, really, it's a lot of Stark and Summit County residents that end up buying the tickets up for that anyway, so we don't have the game this year, but, all the, you know, local places are still doing all their, you know, concerts, bands, the balloon liftoffs, the food fest, and, Quaker Steak and Lube, you know, they're located right by the Hall of Fame Bridge, right there in the, near the Strip in Belden, and you know, they're a really great facility and got good food and stuff, and they're bringing kind of a cool mixture in Thursday night. This is free to the public, so it's an opportunity to see our product for free. We're going to be there in conjunction with the Star Boys. motorcycle stunt team, and we've put together a pretty sweet card with some of our substantial workers. We've got our champions working that show, and we're going to do a few matches. They're going to do a few stunts, and then we're going to bounce back and forth. And yeah, it starts at 7 o'clock at night. I'm sure they've got some good beer and wing specials going on. You know, place should be packed. The weather looks like it's going to be a beautiful day Thursday. And, yeah, we, you know, we start the show at 7 o'clock, and, we've got, we just actually added a match, a couple of guys from JCW. One of the guys works for us normally, and, one of the other ones is one of the former JCW champions, we added them. So we've got six matches that night. We're gonna do a couple, bounce back and forth, like I said.
I will be working that show as an expert flyer monkey.
There you go. That's always, you know, it's paying your dues, buddy. We've all been there and done it. So, you know, you're approaching that time because, we'll be there. You know, we agreed and did a contract with them to do the show because, you know, it's during Hall of Fame week. We want to be part of that. And, we have another huge show 2 days later, over at the WrestlePlex and Alliance where, you know, I may be your trainer, but I don't know how much longer I'll be wrestling for MCW because myself and Shane Sensation have a TLC match, and it's career versus career, meaning whoever loses will never wrestle for MCW again. And speaking of AJ Styles earlier, Shane Sensation had wrestled AJ Styles at the Canton Civic Center when AJ first was the X Division champion, and people were just starting to learn who AJ Styles was, and we booked that match, like I said, because AJ and I had been friends for years, and, you know, Shane was an up-and-comer, so Shane's been with the company for probably about 9 or 10 years, and he thinks it's time that his mentor and trainer step away from the ring and focus on the back, and, you know, I think that, you know, his mouth overrides his ass, so, you know, we're going to find out, you know, Saturday night, and not trying to break kayfabe here for all these wrestling fans, but we're doing something kind of unique that I don't know that's ever been done in wrestling before. You hear that a lot, but this is a straight shoot. You know, there's not a predetermined finish or outcome to this match. He thinks he can go, and I think I still got enough left in my tank. And we're going to go out there and do a TLC match and just honestly swear to God on this. We're just going to see who quits first.
Now, I have seen some TLC matches, and I have seen you. You are a hefty fellow. You are a big
sure.
guy.
Yep, almost 6'4", and I'm pushing right at about 390 right now.
Did you? Are there any special precautions that you've taken to make sure that neither of you injure yourselves on the ladder?
The reason why this whole match got brought into play to begin with is back in 2002, we did a TLC match. Jeff Jarrett was on that show defending, TNA at the beginning. You know, they had the NWA championship. They were still honoring that. He was the current NWA champion, and we did a TLC match right before his main event. And that night is what put MCW on the map. You know, we had around, there was probably 1,600-1,700 fans at the Camp Memorial Civic Center. And, I took Shane Sensation up, we met up at the top of a 15-foot ladder inside of the ring. My finishing maneuver is kind of like a Rikishi driver. We call it a Shasta driver, where I throw him over my shoulders and do a sit-down pile driver. And we were inside the ring, 15 foot in the air. I pulled him over my shoulders, jumped off the ladder, out of the ring, and Shasta drove him through two tables to the concrete floor. That's where this deal got brought up, because that match is probably one of the most memorable matches in our company's history. And, you know, we had 17 people on their feet chanting, "Holy shit." Jeff Jarrett, you know, I remember going back through the curtains after that match, you know, beaten and bruised, and he said at that point in the night he would have to shoot somebody in the chest with a shotgun to get a pop. But I was, you know, I was trying to pay tribute to the NWA world champion and give him the main event, and in hindsight, you know, we stole the show.
Well, isn't that everybody's job when you go out there? You're always trying to steal the show.
Yeah, I mean, you know, my theory was, is, you know, yeah, he was Jeff Jarrett. He was the champion at the time. But, you know, when Jeff Jarrett left that night, MCW was going to still be there, and we needed to let those fans know though we weren't on national TV every week, you know, our guys were quality enough and went out and busted their asses well enough to gain those fans' respects. And, you know, we, at this point in time, we still, for wrestling shows in there, still do as well as a WWE house show or when TNA's came back, because we still promote. You know, they go off of their name and figure if they show up at a building, people will come. You know, we spend months and months promoting. All the guys put in a lot of effort and work, and, you know, we bring in some names, of course, but we always make sure to highlight our talent, and, you know, that's why we've been around going on 12 years.
Now, once again, it's this Thursday, Quaker Steak
Thursday
and Lube.
Night. Yep.
Dressler
Thursday
Road.
Night. Yep. Yep. Thursday night, Quaker Steak and Lube. Free show for the public. If you're a wrestling fan and you have any doubts in indie wrestling, come out that night. I think you'll be very well pleased in what you'll see. We've got a great lineup. Got a females match booked as well. And, you know, you're talking about passing out flyers. We have an enormous show. Like I said, we've got 2 days later, we've got our show in Alliance, but on August the 28th, we do a thing with the Cleveland Indians minor league affiliate, the Mahoning Valley Scrappers. Now, this is our second year out there. Last year, we had Big Papa Pump, Hacksaw Jim Duggan, Valentine, some of those guys. Well, this year, we've got the hardcore icon. To me, he's still a great, huge superstar, and Mick Foley. So Mick Foley will be out there. Al Snow, once again, will be out with us. And for the legend side of things, I kind of decided to go with a different approach rather than bringing in a older wrestling legend. I'm bringing in probably one of the most world-famous managers there is with Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart. So he'll be out there that night. And, you know, believe it or not, you'll never be able to see Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart, manage the guy we're going to have him managing that night, which will be the Necro Butcher. So if you've ever watched the movie The Wrestler and the Necro Butcher, you probably would never imagine you would see Jimmy Hart, you know, manager of the Hart Foundation, Hulk Hogan, the Nasty Boys, you know, the list goes on and on. And that night he'll be managing the one and only Necro Butcher.
Awesome. We're actually going to have Necro Butcher on the show next week.
Oh, are you? Yeah, he's a great guy. He's a big baseball fan. So if you guys are wanting to find some cool things out about him, talk to him about baseball. He actually holds season tickets for the stadium we're running the show at. That's why it kind of made sense. And like I said, Foley's going to be directly involved in the show. He's not coming out there just to sign autographs. He's got some special things he's going to do that night. I'm sure we're going to see Socko and... you know, Mick's a really good guy. He's worked with us a few times over the years. And, you know, when we do these shows and bring in these names, it's an opportunity, you know, for the fans to get, you know, an opportunity to meet him and get up close and personal. And then, like I said, still highlight the great talent that MCW has. So we're going to, you know, we'll have some flyers and we'll have some ticket information about that show on Thursday night. So, you know, those fans come on out. And you guys as well, make sure you give me your information. You know, we've got quite a bit of fans and followers on our website, Facebook, things like that. You know, we want to help promote you guys' cast as well. So, you know, make sure you give me that info.
Speaking of the website, what is the website? So that people who are listening, if they're in Ohio, can say, I want to go see MCW. Where can they find it?
Yeah, and we have a great web designer. We've got a pretty cool content, so we try to keep it fresh and current. You can find us at mcwpro.com. So MCW, that's M as in mouse, CWPro.com.
Awesome. Thanks again for coming on, man, in like such short notice. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me. I really appreciate it. I appreciate you doing that to help us. And, you know, all the wrestling fans come out and support us. I'm not going to lie. If we've got a great turnout that night. The owners of Quaker Steak and Lube have agreed to do like a four-store tour with MCW from here through some of their Cleveland stores and whatnot. So, you guys come out and support indie wrestling. You know, it's a free show. We're willing to put our product out there with those guys and, you know, show what we've got. And I think that people will be pleasantly surprised at what they see.
I will be there again as well. Like I said, I'm going to be an expert flyer monkey that night, so I'm looking forward to it. And
yeah, I'm looking forward to
Saturday, too.
Yeah, Saturday we've got some big things planned beyond the TLC match. You know, we always run a good show. We're out in Alliance the first and third Saturday of every month, so we're able to run storyline type shows, you know, TV type shows, because, you know, we're out there twice a month, so the fans are able to follow something. We have great production. You know, it's not guys just walking out of the back of a door in a corner somewhere. We bring all the bells, whistles, the Titantron, the whole nine yards, and you know, and we're able to be a little edgier. You know, we're able to bring a little bit of an edge to our show. And I think the fans appreciate that realism. And like I said, guys, you know, this isn't any kind of a work. That night we're going to go out and do that TLC match, and you know, whoever decides they're done is going to lay down and take a pin, and that's how him and I decided it. So there's not any type of a finish. It's going to be who brings it the most that night, and you know, pack a lunch. That's all I can tell him.
Well, I'll be there watching and doing whatever you need me to do. So thanks again, Shasta, for coming on.
Absolutely.
We really appreciate it. I will see you Thursday night at Figure Steak and Lube in Canton.
Yes,
and have a good night, man.
You guys as well. Best of luck to you.
That was really cool. I'm sorry I disappeared completely, because final score, Power Surge 1, my internet, nothing.
No, man, it's cool.
It's all good. We're all about helping out the indie folks as well as the big folks. Want to thank everybody for staying with us tonight. Lots of fun indeed, and lots of fun in the next 2 weeks. But we need to mention our friends here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, which is our home site, home network. Tomorrow night, 9 o'clock Eastern, is OTL with these two gentlemen, along with the one and only TJ Omega. Are we talking about the biracial Spider-Man by chance tomorrow night?
Oh, F that.
There are many, many topics to talk about, including the biracial Spider-Man, World of Warcraft news, Batman, all sorts of stuff.
He's black.
Kevin Scott, now playing Spider-Man.
I've tried to get him on, but that lady friend of his, man, I don't think she wants him to come on and near you guys.
No, I think she's still offended by the voicemail I left him.
Oh dear God. Oh dear God. Wonderful. Now I know why I'm losing contributors. It's because of you.
No, there was one we were trying to have. I think it was WrestleTalk Radio. We were trying to get him on because we were doing a like the most controversial kind of debate, and he said he was going to come on, but she was there, and he didn't answer his phone, and I was like, "Hey, Jamal, my nigga, like over his voicemail," and he picked up the phone. He's like, "Shut the fuck up."
You're gonna ruin it with me and my lady friend, man. Crap. Saturday night is a live UFC event, is that correct?
Yes.
So there will be tap outs to knockouts starting at
probably
9 o'clock.
With you and Mace. I'm pretty sure I won't be here.
Oh, I'll definitely be around.
I forgot about that NCW show this Saturday entirely. I thought it was, you know, the show Thursday and then Base Brawl. I forgot about this one entirely.
We'll be able to take care of it. And then also follow, as soon as UFC ends, and Mace may or not kill me if it goes to a draw.
It doesn't matter, Alan. There will be no tap outs to knockouts this week. I will not be there either.
Damn, alright, so I guess I'll be watching UFC on my own if I decide to bother with it. Midnight-ish, the one and only CB Radio with Sir Rockin', Subway, and the godfather of extreme himself, Rob Parks. Did Subway end up calling in from his pleasure cruise?
No, drunk boat call. We got stories of drinking and gambling on the boat and all that fun stuff, but you never know what we'll do. Saturday night, midnight-ish, for the Wild Talk Radio Network.
All right, this Sunday, as we mentioned during the show, is TNA Hardcore Justice, which means that WrestleTalk Radio will be on at 11 p.m. Eastern. Next Sunday, the 14th, 9 a.m. Eastern, on the History of WWE.com, myself, Jackie Feist, our host, and I'm totally blanking on my other co-host name. No, not. It is Teddy Prentice. I'm kidding, Teddy. I didn't mean to mess you up there. We will be debuting Triple Talk Wrestling Radio podcast. It'll be available on the site. And as mentioned, next Tuesday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, we open with the one and only Rikishi. And then from the love and dancing of Rikishi, we get into the mind of one of the most in-ring disturbing people ever, but as we've heard from other folks, one of the most articulate people, and yeah, we'll talk baseball with him. We'll talk baseball with anybody on this show.
I wonder if he's an Indians fan.
Butcher will be here. I've seen pictures on his Facebook page of him being down here at one point in the Tampa Bay Rays game. Who knows? We'll find out. And don't forget, 2 weeks from tonight, on the 16th, the Evil Effin' Show, Jerry Lynn and the very lovely Maria Kanellis will be back with us. Thanks to Hammerjack, thanks to Marcus Petroius, thanks to Shasta McNasty? Was that
Shasta
his name?
McNasty. He used to wrestle in NWA Wildside with AJ Styles. Him and AJ had a school together for a while.
Yeah,
he's a really good guy.
Yeah, I just feel bad that I wasn't here. I wasn't ducking out. I was just like, I'm sitting here going, power, crap, what the hell? Oh, no, internet gone.
And for all you people who have spent a little few dollars here and there, as you know, I like my video game for charity events. One going on at the moment called Zelda for Eternity 2. The second annual 96-hour Zelda Marathon over at ZeldaEternity.com. They're raising money for the American Cancer Society. They're in their second day of play. They've got two more left. Head over there, watch some Zelda, throw them a couple of dollars. You know, it's all for charity. Help people out.
Are these the same cats that did the Mario? Or is this
no,
a
it
different
is not
group?
The same. It's not. It's a different group.
But it,
They're struggling at the moment. They're barely breaking $100 after 2 days, so they really need some
support. Oh, damn.
But this is their second year. These things take time.
Gotcha. All right. That is the way it goes. Don't forget, next Tuesday night, it looks like we're going to be live on www.rwwrestling.net. Don't forget that podcast that I mentioned, the Triple Talk Wrestling Radio, is going to be only available on the History of WWE.com, which is Graham Cawthon's wonderful website. If you like this show and you want to hear what we've done in the past, go to iTunes and look us up. You can find us through Click Wrestle. You can find us through Wild Talk Radio or our official Facebook page at OWW Radio. I'm Alan Wojcik. Have a great evening.
Come.